Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This message has been a struggle for me. I have really, really struggled with this message, and I want to tell you this up front. I've struggled with the title of the message. It's been a message that I've had kind of in me for a while now. But it has just been a struggle for me to put it together, to bring it together, to, you know, to kind of link things in the message. And so, and it's been a struggle right up till this morning. And I'm really asking God to go before me in this. And my prayer is that you get a revelation from God on what He is saying, not the way I'm saying. So listen to the voice of the Spirit this morning. And so the title of my message today is simply freedom. And so freedom is what it is about. I've had a very interesting journey over the last 5 or so years, and I would say for me personally, if you talk about, you know how when someone has a, like, you see a teenager or you see a kid and they say they have a growth spurt. And in your life, there's times in your life it may not happen, but you might grow quicker than at other times. And you see kids and, you know, my wife's dealing with some issues at the moment because she's got 3 boys who are just about to overtake her height. And the next growth spurt is going to put her about 3rd in line in height in the family. So We see a growth spurt in the lives of kids often, and I would say in the last 5 years, it doesn't mean that what's gone before has been bad. It's been part of it, but I just sense in my spirit, in my life, there's been a bit of a growth spurt spiritually for me, and God showed me some amazing things about my life. Some of it's been tough. It's been really hard, but some of it has been a revelation and a change in the way in which I believe, a change in which I see God, and a change in which I live. So this is probably a little bit a part of that, and so we'll go from there. So the message today is called freedom. So if we could have the first scripture up behind me, it's Galatians 5 verse 1. And it goes like this: in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. This is out of the Amplified Version. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. In this freedom, Christ has made us free. Some versions say it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. In other words, we were set free so we could live every day in freedom. In thought, in what we believed, and in how we live. Freedom from this mentality that's in and out with God. This, I'm in with God and I'm out with God. And I spoke about a little bit about this last time. He loves me, He loves me not. The freedom from, okay, well, I've done a wrong thing, so now I'm out with God. That's not the way God works. That is not New Covenant. Having to work to earn. We work hard to earn our Christianity or our salvation. Or we're justified by the law. And in this scripture in Galatians, we'll see a little bit about what freedom isn't and what freedom is. I've seen many people, and I've been one of those myself, that have been set free by what Christ has done on the cross, and it stops there. And they don't live freely because they go back into an old mindset that is to be justified by the law. God wants us not only to be free, but to live freely. In this freedom, Christ has set us free. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So it's almost like there's two parts of it. And I looked at that scripture and I thought, that's really strange. What does it mean? But it's actually not just he freed us on the cross and that's it. He freed us on the cross so we could live freely with a free mindset. I don't know how many people here have seen the film Shawshank Redemption. I know probably many have. There's a particular character in that film, and his name is Brooks. And you may remember, you may not, but here's a little bit about Brooks. There is a scene in the film where Brooks is holding a knife to a fella named Haywood's neck. One of the guys manages to calm him down. The main character, Andy, manages to calm him down. But this Brooks fella is really distraught. They later learn that Brooks has been paroled and that killing Haywood would have been his way to stay in prison. The gang discusses Brooks, and Red says that Brooks has been in prison so long that he is institutionalized. The prison doors open and Brooks steps out and takes a bus to his new home. He is astounded by the changes in the world since he was free and complains that everyone got themselves in a hurry. The parole board got him into a halfway house called The Brewer and a job bagging groceries at the Foodway. Brooks hates working. He hates working there and considers robbing the store and killing the Foodway man to go back to prison. He decides that he is too old to do that. He writes a letter back to his friends at the prison in which he expresses his difficulties adjusting to the outside world, including holding up a job at the grocery store as a bagger, living in constant fear and longing to break his parole so that they'd send him back to be in prison again. He can't cope with this freedom. And if you've seen the film, you know what happens to Brooks. So why do people struggle with this freedom? Why is this scripture in there about it was for freedom that Christ has set us free? Surely it would be just Christ has set us free and that's it. But God knows that we're out of Adam. He knows where we've come from. He created us. So why do people struggle to be free? What is this slavery that Galatians 5:1 talks about? Okay, so let's have a little bit of a look further down with Galatians 5:2-6. Now, we're going to have Galatians 4 on the board, but I'm going to read the rest. Notice it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no profit, advantage, or avail to you. For, and I underline this, for if you distrust him, you can gain nothing from him. If you can't believe what Christ has done for you, you gain nothing from him. Verse 3 says, I once more protest and testify. He said it twice in a row, so it was pretty important for the Galatians at the time. To every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation and bound to a practice the whole of the law and its ordinance. And this is verse 4. If you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and so separated, severed from Christ. They're strong words. So if you sought to be justified by the law, these guys have found Christ and he's saying, you've got to stop being justified by the law. I'm not saying this, the scripture's saying it. It says, once you do that, you will be severed from Christ. And we've heard the term fallen from grace, and I think Dale shared a little bit about it, but it says you have fallen away from grace. So you know how people say fallen from grace and they talk about, oh, someone's done something wrong, so they've fallen from grace? That's a little bit out of context to what this is saying. Fallen from grace, from God's gracious favour and unmerited blessing. Verse 5 says, for we, not relying on the law through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and its right standing with God, our conformity to His will in purpose, thought and action, causes us to hope. So in short, it's what Christ has done that justifies us, that keeps us in, has brought us and keeps us in right standing with God, not our obedience of the law. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. Let's say one of the Ten Commandments. Do not murder. That is a great law. That is a brilliant law. I think every one of the Ten Commandments are brilliant laws, because God's put them there for us to have a great understanding of His nature and what will help us live in life. There's nothing wrong with the law. I'm not standing here today and saying there's anything wrong with the law. And there's enough in Scripture where Paul says there's nothing wrong with the law. So don't misquote me today in saying I'm saying there's things wrong with the law. There's nothing. The law is perfect. It's from God. But it's using it to justify our position rather than what Christ has done that will bring struggle in our lives. Paul recognized this with the Galatians and wanted them not to just be released by Christ through His death on the cross, but to live and walk in freedom, not bound by the law. To live by the Spirit. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, He who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not ministers of the letter or legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. That's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. John 1, 17 says, For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favour and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. The word says that we're not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, 14 says this, For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favour and mercy. The scripture is littered with all these scriptures about making it clear that we're not under law, but we're under grace. And if we have a look at a scripture like 2 Corinthians 12:19, which I haven't got on the board, he talks about grace being sufficient, that His grace is sufficient for us, for His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I get honestly a little bit tired of hearing people either use it or talk about grace as just something that is, oh, okay, we can just do whatever we want to do because grace has got it in hand. Grace is so much bigger, so much more powerful than that. And so if you've got that thought about grace, then it's time today to change the thinking, because grace is just so much bigger and the Bible talks about it on many occasions. Grace empowers us to make great decisions. And in Titus 2, once again, I haven't got it on the board, 11 to 12 in the Amplified Version, it says that grace brings salvation, that we have become heirs with God through grace, that grace teaches us, that it delivers us from sin and it trains us. So anyone who thinks that grace is just this thing that it looks after sin, it's so much bigger than that. Grace is empowering in our life. So don't let the enemy deceive of what's something that is meant to be fantastic for us to be something that is just this thing that just looks after sin. This covenant is where God wants us to live now. Every day, empowered by God's Spirit, in communication, every day with God our Father, in relationship with Him. So we see what God wants for us, and we see that this is the freedom that He wants, to live under grace but not under law. But how did it start? How did it begin? Where did it all start, where this kind of confusion gets into our minds? And we need to understand, we need to see the way the enemy works. We need to understand the way he comes about things and does things. We need to understand where our fight is. And we need to know, as Graham has preached, that we come from a point of victory. And when we come from a point of victory and we walk in that victory, we will be aware of what Satan does when he begins to say things to us. And it started right near the beginning in the garden. Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, 'You shall not eat from every tree in the garden?'" Can it really be that God has said, "You shall not eat from every tree in the garden"? There's the question. There's the first question. Questioning, did God say? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Here Satan uses the law and what God said to deceive, because he is the deceiver, and to blur God's real purpose, the true purpose, and truly what he said. Now, God knew that they would die spiritually, but see, there was this thing here that Satan just wanted to cloud what was going on here. He wanted to just play with one part of what God had said. And he knew what would happen if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which you would, in a sense, you would say that, if you want to say that a tree is a tree of law, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of right and wrong. And then in verse 5 it says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity." So what are you missing out on? What are you missing out on because you're following God? Did God say that you miss out on that? Surely you can do that. Surely you're allowed to do that. That won't hurt you. It's not fair. You should have the right to do that. You should have the right to do those things. You don't have to worry about that. God didn't say anything about that. How different it would have been if our friends Adam and Eve would have checked with God first. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone comes to you and says, you know, you're working at a, you know, you're working by the employer, and someone comes in who's not part of the establishment, and they come in and they say, "Look, you know, I just need you to know that it's okay if you go and, you know, steal some of the things off the shelf and take them home with you tonight. It's okay if you do that." you know, it's okay. At that point, you would think that that person would then go to the employer and say, hey, listen, someone just told me that it's okay if I nick some of the gear that's on the shelf over there and take it home tonight. Will that be okay? Will that be all right? And the employer would probably say, no, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what they're saying. But that's not the deal. You don't steal those things off the shelf. Now, if Adam and Eve, or you know, now we can talk about who should have gone to God and who should have spoken to God, but maybe, you know, if Adam and Eve had gone, God, there's this dude in the garden and he's a serpent and he's saying that we can eat of that, you know, even after you'd said that, he's saying that we could eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's just, you know, he's just told me that. What do you think, God? At that point, that's when relationship broke. That's when it happened. It went back to that point. And right at that point, there was a break. There was a break in relationship. Relationship's the key here. See, it wasn't Adam and Eve who went looking for God in the garden and saying, where are you, God? It was God who went to Adam and Eve and said, where are you? Are you hiding? Are you hiding from me? And there was a clear break in relationship. And we know what happened. And from that point on, it's been a struggle. It's been a real struggle for mankind, even after Christ has come, to be fooled by what the serpent says, to be drawn back, to be justified by the law rather than by grace. And it was at that point that we saw how Satan works. Now, Satan talks to all of us. Every day, he'll try and seed some sort of lie, mix the truth with a lie, and try and fool us. And it's been since Adam, and because of God's grace, Satan is now defeated. And when we see that Galatians scripture, he's saying, why are you going back to where you come from? You are now living under grace, not under law. He will try and bring you back under law or rights or your rights in the way you live whenever he can. But he is defeated. So for freedom's sake, keep living in freedom. We need to be aware of how this works. And people can use the law to justify why they do what they do. Now, I need you to stay with me here a little bit this morning. This is a bit of a different take on probably law and grace and how it works. But I asked a couple of people, one of the things that I did leading up to this, I watched a couple of messages on this subject. And there was a preacher who, 15 years ago, he spoke a word on this. And when he talked about grace, he said, when it comes to God's word, and when it comes to what you read in God's word, he said that when it's clear, when it's extremely clear, we work out of obedience. Now, there's some things at the moment and over the last 15 or 20 years that you would think would have been clear in God's word that have now been looked a little bit muddy. But when it comes to the word of God and how we live, when it's clear, it's an act of obedience. And we know obedience brings forth blessing. Now, there's nothing wrong with obedience. Obedience is a great thing. But there are some things in the word that aren't necessarily, or some people wouldn't necessarily see as clear. And when it comes to that, God knows the heart of man, but it's our role to live by the Spirit and to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us in our decision-making and our everyday lives. Now, I've just pulled some things that come under conjecture sometimes. Some people say that if you tell people to read the Bible, it's bringing them under law and you shouldn't be telling people to read the Bible. Well, But what's the purpose of God saying that it's helpful to read the Bible? What's the purpose of that? Because it feeds us, it nourishes us, it does us good, it gives us understanding that God loves us, and in the end he knows it's going to be better for us. And I don't know about you, but in my life I've struggled to read the Bible. Has anyone else struggled to read the Bible? Okay. The very thing Satan would want you to do is not to read the Bible because he knows how good it is for you. So if he feeds you something in your mind and says, you know, I don't know whether it's clear in the Bible that you should have to read the Bible. And you're like, yeah, right, you know, don't have to read the Bible. And so he uses the law, or what when it's not clear, and helps you to justify your position. But Galatians says that if you use the law, or if you justify your position by the law, you become under the law rather than in Christ. Here's another one. Money and giving. I hear different people have different opinions on money and giving. There are some people who say you shouldn't, you don't have to tithe or you don't have to give because it's an Old Testament thing. Because it's not clear. Now, I'm not going to give you my stance on it. But I heard this awesome thing which ran really true with me one day. Why in a new covenant that's better than the old covenant would God want us to be less generous now than before? Why would he want us to be less generous? And so I hear people say, well, it doesn't say it in the Bible that we have to give. Yeah, but what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's he speaking into your heart and mind at the moment? What's the stream of Scripture saying overall? And I'll give you some truth today. I've seen people who refuse to give. And giving, I think giving is about trusting. So God's given us so much. And he says, you know, I'm asking you to give, because in Galatians he says give generously. I'm asking you to give and give generously. Now he wants us, part of what the reason why he wants us to give is because we're showing that we can trust him and that it's not consuming us. And if we can trust him with money, we can trust him with other things. So part of giving is about trust. So we need to be wary of that. I hear some people use it, use justifying themselves, say with drinking. They say the Bible says that you can have a drink, or the Bible says you know, it's just don't have a strong drink. But are you using the law to justify your situation, or you're actually saying, what is God actually saying to me? Don't bring yourself under law, but what's the Spirit saying to you? I hear people do it with attending church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. But you know what? The Bible says don't give up meeting with the believers. And at church, you'll get fed. You'll get to mix with other people. You'll get rubbed up the wrong way. You will get rubbed up the wrong way in church. Get ready to be offended if you go to church, because someone at some point will say the wrong thing to you. God is in the character building business. He wants to build our character. So be wary about what Satan feeds to you is, you know, did God really say that? Be careful about how you justify your decisions. I've seen people justify who they hang out with. Nick did a bit of a message this week, and she didn't go into depth with it. She did it in chapel here. And some people say, well, Jesus hung with these people. So if Jesus did it, then I should be able to do it. Let's get it in context. If these people are dragging you down to a level, then don't use the law to justify, or don't use the word to justify your circumstance, because you bring yourself back under the law. we are not under law, but we're under grace. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us words of wisdom. These can all be used in a way to bring others under condemnation and to bring ourselves under condemnation or under the law. God's asked us to live freely. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. If you've had a thought in your mind about something because someone said it to you years ago, and you're in a mode of, I am refusing to change because that's what I believe, maybe ask the Spirit to speak to you, God to speak to you. Is that something that's locking you up in an area of your life because you're using the law to define and to justify your position? If Jesus died to purchase our freedom, the enemy will try to bring you back under law. He freed us from law and rights by taking responsibility for all sin for all time. Now, law and rights are a similar thing. And we know that Jesus freed us from the law and rights because, see, Jesus was totally without sin. Does everyone agree? Totally without sin. Okay, and I do believe that, and Pilate said to the chief priests and throngs, I find no guilt or crime in this man. Now, Jesus had the right, he had the right at that point to go, I'm without sin, I'm not going to the cross. But he said, and here's the cruncher for all of us, not my will, but your will be done. And at that point, he took responsibility for all sin for all time. And if we are in Christ, then as Christians, our role in this is to not live under rights or being justified by the law, but to live under responsibility and grace and to take responsibility in our lives. So be wary we don't get caught under the letter of the law and live by rights, but live by responsibility. You know, it drives me mad when I hear stories of, you know, a footpath that's, you know, gone a little bit out of shape and you might find, you know, one joint higher than the other, and you hear a story through council that someone, little Johnny, was walking along and he tripped over. He tripped over the little, you know, the pavement that was sitting up that little bit, and he fell over, and so we're going to sue the council. Rather than, well, maybe you should have been watching Johnny when he was walking down there and said, you know, these things happen in life. There are some things you're going to stumble over. So let's not go suing the council based on that. Let's take responsibility for our own actions. We live in a society that is covered with let's go sue someone because something happened, rather than taking responsibility. I have a right to sue someone. As Christians, we don't live under that law. We live under responsibility that Jesus gave for us. I just want to highlight something to you in Galatians 4:28 and 29. And it's in the New International Version. We got that one there, Dave. Okay, it says, now you brothers and sisters like Isaac are children of the promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. The law will always persecute the Spirit, okay, when it's used in the wrong way. And we need to not live under law, but live under grace and live by God's Spirit and the way He speaks to us in our lives. It's really important that we understand that. We see, you know, we see, even from an international point of view, we see the law persecuting the Spirit. This goes back to Abraham, the times of Abraham. And it says it's the same now. And it's something that won't change. So in our own lives, it's important we don't allow the law to persecute the Spirit in our own lives. But we live by the Spirit, not bound by the law, but live by the Spirit. Okay, if we can just put that last slide up, Dave, and I'm gonna finish up. Here's a bit of a picture of I guess maybe I wouldn't put it a new covenant line, but things that we can look at in our lives. We have law and grace. We have rights, because we know rights is out of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I've got that there, and the tree of life. We have rights and responsibilities. We have slave and free. We have works, as in I've got to work hard to earn my salvation. Works and rest. We have blame and forgiveness. And if you've ever been hurt by someone and they've done the wrong thing, God's really clear on not standing on your rights because they've done the wrong thing, and so you don't have to forgive them. God says we need to forgive. He says we need to forgive 70 times 7. And flesh and spirit. So there's some great words we can live out of. Grace, responsibility, free. We can live out in freedom. Live out of the tree of life. We can rest. We can forgive people, and we can live by the Spirit. It's not an exhaustive list, but it gives you an idea. We don't live out of rights, but we live out of responsibility. And today, I'm not sure where you're at, but we're not under law, we're under grace. And grace is a much higher calling than being under law. It's a higher calling. The Bible's clear about it. It's a higher calling. We're not by the line of the law, but we're under grace. And grace is a high calling. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he knows we're going to be weak, and he knows we're going to be make mistakes. But he says, call on his grace because it's sufficient for you, and allow his strength to operate in your lives, in your everyday decisions. Today you might be here, and there might be some things in your life where you've actually said, no, I'm gonna justify my position by the law. Well, that's not what God's asking of you. He's asking you to live under grace and to say, what is the Spirit saying? You know, he says, don't cause your brother to stumble. Very clear on that New Testament. Don't cause your brother to stumble. If you're making decisions in your life, and others are getting hurt through your decisions, the Bible says don't cause your brother to stumble. That's living by the Spirit. It's not living under rights, but under responsibility of the Spirit. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word. And God, I know it's been a tough one for me to put together, but Lord, I pray that you would help us every day with every decision. That, Lord, that we would be free, and there would be people here this morning that would be free through decisions that they've made in their life through living and justified by the law. But, Lord, let your Spirit and let your freedom reign in this place, in this house. And, Lord, that we live out of relationship, not out of law. And you want to talk to us every day about everything we do. And that we would be aware of the enemy's schemes and how he works. But we come from a point of victory. We live in victory. We walk in victory because of what you've done. And we just give you thanks this day. To Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.